Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hyper Jazz is the vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Now, you know, I was just listening intently to Dave Solomon do that introduction, and I love it each and every time. And it makes me aware every time, but today in particular, how true those words are, because that was the whole intent of creating Hybrid Jazz back in 2011, is to make a home, especially for those artists who may fall between the cracks, who may be completely straight ahead, who may be completely contemporary, and everything that's in between. It still stands today, and it makes an impact even more as I introduce this artist that's about to come aboard. I have watched Darryl Yokely for a few years now, and when he reached out to me and said, by the way, I just want you to know that I have this new album coming out, Pictures at an African Exhibition, I said to myself, well, that is a pretty intense title for a project. Now, I wonder how much inspiration is going to be on here, how much inspiration Darryl got, how much inspiration a listener will receive when they hear this music. This young man has done so much in his 30-plus years. Saxophonist, composer, arranger, educator, clinician, native state California, moved to North Carolina when he was in high school, focused on classical sax in 1997 or thereabouts. 10 years went by, he realized that he had this profound love for jazz, and he has been creating this beautiful hybrid mix since. Played with a number of wonderful names in jazz. Quincy Jones knows about him. There are many more. He found his niche in New York, acclimating himself as a leader within a pretty short space of time. He spent some time in Philadelphia where he got mentored. I'm telling you, the work that he has turned out now with this new album is so intense that it made me feel obliged, just because of the majesty of this work, to create music around Darryl Yokely's visit today. This is the next to the last day in February during Black History Month, and I can't think of an artist that I'd want here more than this man, who is my friend. I'm proud to call him so. Please make welcome Darryl Yokely. Darryl!
Hi, how are you doing? I'm doing good.
I'm so glad to hear your voice. So glad.
Likewise, it's been a minute. It's good to hear your voice as well.
Oh, gosh, I can feel you smiling. Is the baby nearby, by the way?
Yeah, she's over here eating, I think, right now. Yeah, entertaining herself with some food.
I'll bet you, yeah. She entertains herself as well with Dad's music. Does she? She's really into music, isn't she?
Yeah, you know, she walks over to the piano and she'll play. And then this morning when I was practicing some flute, you know, she was over there singing along. And you know, we play music for her every day, so she's surrounded by it for sure.
And even when Mom was walking around with your child inside, I am sure, just like with my son, there was a lot of music in the house playing and recording. So all of that is immersed in that little system. And by the time she's going to be three, God knows, Darryl, you know.
Yeah, I might have to start saving up for these piano lessons pretty soon.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right on the money. Are you, like, over the moon with the early response? I mean, I'm so pleased because this album is not out yet, but the single is. You're getting major buzz, Darryl. You realize that, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm happy that it's getting the reception that it is, and, you know, that it's having kind of the intended effect that I had hoped for, with, you know, people kind of getting it, I guess, feeling that it's telling a story and that it has an arc to it, which is, you know, the main goal of that album, or one of the main goals, I should say.
Now, I have to ask you, because we didn't really touch on this in communication, but when my wonderful hometown of Philadelphia, and I know that you have big love for Philly, when the Philadelphia Museum of Art asked you to do music for their 200 years of African American art exhibition, was that the impetus for you to be inspired for your own album, or does this go back further, your love and your passion?
I think that, you know, I originally wanted to do the music that I recorded for this CD. I wanted to do that, but then they asked me to do something similar to that with their own exhibition. So, yeah, I guess to answer your question, my album project was coming first, and then, you know, that project that we did at the Philadelphia Museum of Art was kind of a version of that, you know, same art and music collaboration.
Well, that's really interesting to me, because you had mentioned art and the communication of art via this album. I'm so struck, because I was listening again to every single track earlier today, and I'm telling you, Terrell, it just freaks me out, because I view you as it's not like you could be a son, but I view you as a young man who has such wisdom. But even with that, the wisdom inside of you, this is transportational music. I mean, I had to think to myself in this little bedroom in Cocoa, Florida, where the heck am I? Where
am
I?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Oh, thank you so
really,
much. Yeah.
You were inspired, and that's a capital I, and then some. Where did you go in your mind?
It's a project, I think, has had a long evolution. You know, one of the pieces I did, kind of the early sketch of it in grad school, as early as, I think, 2005 or 2006. And, you know, I guess that might have been like a seed back then. But, you know, I was looking at some of my contemporaries, maybe a little bit older than myself, like Jason Moran and Miguel Zenon, and some of the, you know, the breadth of work that they were doing. And I was thinking to myself, maybe I could do something similar. And then I had the thought of, you know, fusing these two art mediums together with visual art and the music. And then, you know, Mazursky popped in my head out of nowhere, you know, because I was like, you know, that's the history of that piece. And then,
wow.
Then I said, well, I'm going to do a jazz symphony version of Mazursky's concept. And that's kind of, in a nutshell, how it kind of came about, you know. But it's been going on for a long time. I know when I seriously started working on the music, I think that was as early as 2013 or 2014, where I started hearing these ideas and writing it down starting to play with the band and everything and figure it out.
So yeah. I guess you're one of these beautiful musical creatures. The Void was out, 2012? So
correct, yeah.
It just paved the way for you to think, okay, I know that people are classifying my music as unique, and I know that there's some hybridity to my music, because it's this marriage of classical and jazz, and I'm going in a different direction, it seems, than other folks. I might as well go full throttle.
right, exactly, yeah. You know, this project, you know, like I said, it's the concept has been done before. Like Miguel Zenon, you know, did a project where he did like, I think it was an 11-piece wind ensemble, or maybe 12-piece wind ensemble with, with his group. And that was back in 2011. I think the title was Alma Adentro, the name of the album. So, you know, that projects like that definitely inspired me to do this one. And I just did it in a different, you know, vein, like focusing on African music and images and whatnot. So you know, I'm drawing on sources from all over the place.
You really did, and I've heard it said many times, and it sounds New Agey to say this, but when I hear that someone has described an album as a musical landscape, I've thought to myself, isn't that precious? That's so sweet that they would call it a musical landscape. But with you, it's a freaking musical landscape. There is no doubt about it, because, I mean, I'm going over terrain in Africa listening to this music, and I'm stopping in Ghana, and there's a little cafe where they have coffee in Johannesburg, and I'm thinking to myself, he just had the windows rolled down, and he's just making these different stops, and I think he's covering every single country within that continent. So,
yeah,
<Wow.
laughs> well, I'm glad it had that effect. You know, I definitely wanted it to sound like a soundtrack, you know, and kind of have this dramatic story where it starts out peaceful, then it has conflict, and then resolution at the end. So, you know, it definitely has a flow from the beginning to end, and that's how I conceived of the music, to kind of, you know, be through composed telling the single story.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Daryl, this is the truth, and you're going to hear this. And this is coming from, you know, it sounds like standard shtick coming from an older white woman, but, you know, the timing of this is so wonderful because of the mega success of Black Panther. And I'm listening to some of the tracks on this beautiful Pictures at an African Exhibition, and I'm recalling dialogue in the movie, and one of the profound comments that was in the script was done by Michael B. Jordan as the so-called antagonist, but even with the antagonist, there were layers in him, and he said essentially that on the slave ships, some of the slaves threw themselves overboard because they knew what it was like in perceiving bondage. So that was what I also heard in this too. I mean, the wisdom in you, without having ever been there, of course, because you're, what, 36 years old, you just have this inside of you, this perception of what that agony could have been like. And yeah, there were stops along the way, but also stops in the past that people can feel if they put their minds to it. This is not background music. None of this is.
Oh, yeah, not by any means. You know, and I, in preparing for some of the themes in this thing, you know, I definitely did a lot of reading, watching documentaries, just African history and culture, and of course the music and art, you know. But there was definitely a lot of preparation that went into it. It almost as if I was, you know, making a movie. I kind of really approached the whole project as if I was a film director, and so I was trying to cover every aspect as much as possible. Yeah.
Wow. See, and that's in you. You definitely have a future in that if you want to do that, because you get the full picture. I always thought, being a little girl, that I wanted to be an actress, and I am, because I do radio. But at Temple University, where I was majoring in theater, I thought to myself, I love theater, but I love the idea of film because it's the perfected product. So I hear that little voice in the background. Yay. You definitely get the whole scope of what it means to make music and make something that is meaningful for decades ahead. you get.
Yes, I definitely hope it'll be. It'll have a long longevity. You know, when I'm gone, and people can look back at it and still find it, you know, kind of very unique every time they listen to it. You know, and discover new stuff about it.
Mm. Yep. Let us dwell for a minute or so on those in your wonderful band who are your friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make sure that I get to Ubuntu, because it's important to describe what that means. It's important to hear the song because it's the first single. So take it away. Tell me about this amazing group of musicians that surround you.
Oh, you know, it's kind of hard to put it all in words. I mean, they're like brothers to me. I've been friends with them for so long. Zakai joined the band in 2013 it was, you know. And, you know, it's been a great dynamic having them in there. And, you know, of course, you know, he plays with his brother Luquez also. So they have a nice hookup. And, you know, I felt like me and Wayne kind of fit right in with that hookup, and it was very nice. And you know, even off the bandstand, we talk and text each other, and you know, we go out and hang out. So there's all that stuff is coming out in the music, and you can kind of really hear that. And then you know, Nasheed Waits, our special guest on the album, I've always wanted to play with him for years, and I actually approached him about the project, I think as early as 2010 or 2011, and you know, life happens, and you're trying to get the money to actually just do the project. So you know, it took a while for us to get there, but eventually we hooked up and we played a couple shows, and then we recorded the music. So you know, I just had a vision and just kept going at it for a long time. But he was he's a phenomenal drummer, and I think, as far as I'm concerned, a living legend. So I always wanted to play with him, and it was a pleasure to have him on the project. And hopefully we'll get a chance to do some more work with this project, you know, performances and maybe, you know, some future recordings and stuff as well.
So let me ask you then, May 3rd, you're set to do a CD release at Smoke in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So Luquez and Zakai will be with you, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So will the scope of who is essentially on this album be with you then? I mean, is it too much to ask for Nasheed to be there? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I think he's got another engagement at the moment, but I believe the rest of the crew will be there. So, you know, that's the plan at the moment. So hopefully we'll be able to do it as the whole CD, you know, the personnel on the CD, you know, to represent it in the way it was recorded.
Oh, that's just going to be amazing. Anybody who is there at that club that night is just going to be blown away. So you wanted to have Ubuntu as the first single. Was that your essential choice? Because it seems natural.
Yeah, that was the one I envisioned, you know, being the single, because it seems, you know, I had it in my mind, but then also response from you know, listeners, including, you know, people in the band and then in the wind ensemble, you know, commenting that tune in particular, they couldn't get it out of their ear. Like, it was just, it really stuck with them. And, you know, it's very kind of uplifting, happy tune, and it's short, you know, and memorable. And just the overall theme of Ubuntu, you know, kind of focusing on a group identity and inclusion, you know, I think it's a very positive message that, you know, can go along with the music.
I think it's a childlike notion that we should never grow out of, because there was an illustration on Facebook a couple of years ago. One of these outsiders came into an African country, and he wanted the kids in the village to race for a treat, and they all decided, no, they were going to share the treat together, because this is how they grow up to be Ubuntu. This is, we're all in it together. I love that. Love it.
Yeah, that's funny. I saw that same post, and that's what inspired me to write the music, was entitled the tune that was that same post on social media. So, you know, sometimes social media has some great benefits.
Absolutely, yes. Oh, I'm so glad. Well, this is Daryl Yokely with us on Hybrid Jazz, and this is one of those tracks from Pictures at an African Exhibition that you are not going to forget, Ubuntu. Takes a little while, Daryl. I'm not sure what the deal is here. Hold on.
No worries.
Well, and this happened with the first track on the last show, too. It's a Blog Talk Radio quirk. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop that track and see if the second track that I have here, which is First Sunrise, let's see if that does better. Shall we do that?
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Here we go. All right. Now I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Hold on.
Okay.
Wow, everything is whirring, Daryl. I'm talking
Uh-oh.
To you. I'm so glad I'm talking to you. But it's
uh-huh.
like, yeah. Okay, hold on. I guess we're going to have to talk a little bit more about the music because the it looks like plates in the air right now.
Oh, no, it's all good. No worries at all.
This honestly, there's something happening on Facebook today, and there's something happening on Blog Talk Radio, and Twitter is a little quirky as well. So it might be a, dare I say this, it might be a Trump thing. I don't know.
They found me out. They got me.
They got you. Well, as long as we're doing the plates, and I know that it's going to go back. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Uh huh.
You're still there. Okay. So
uh-huh.
it took me to a different page entirely. Now, let's see if we can go back and things are a little back to normal. So here's the thing. I'll be moving back to the north sometime late March, early April. So
mm-hmm.
I might have a chance to actually see you do your thing at Smoke. I've never been to Smoke.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
And I know that you – yes. So this is like one of the cooler clubs on the planet, correct?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it's one of my favorite places to play at. This will be my first time playing there with my band, so it'll be fun.
Well, how is it that you made the move from Philly to New York and then was acclimated so much to the vibe that you picked up some serious gigs as a leader pretty early in the game? Did you just, like, march in? Because I know you somewhat. I know that you've got this serene personality, but I would imagine there's another side of your personality that's like, hey, I'm here. So let me have the gig. And
you definitely have to have a little bit of persistence, especially at first, and even now at this stage of my career, just have to ask, and then eventually the right person comes around and hears you and takes a chance on you, and they're like, oh, okay, and then you get your foot in that door, and then you just try to open as many doors, and I still, even though I love playing the music just for the sake of playing music, I do have, the business side of it where I try to do that. And then, I've written this music, so I just, when I got to the city, I was playing some gigs as a sideman. And then I think my first gig was at Fat Cat off of a recommendation to the guy who booked it, from Stacy Dillard, another great saxophonist, in the city. And, from there, it kind of took off. I played Fat Cat a lot of times, and then, some at Smalls, and then now at Smoke, and then in different various clubs and whatnot. So it's just a process, I think.
And did you have anybody, like, this is important for future folks who are maybe thinking of making the move, because New York City is the pinnacle. There's no place you can go that is more desirable and feel as though you've made it than New York. Did you have any mentors who showed you the ropes, or did you just learn so much from Philadelphia that you thought, I own this, man?
I guess, you know, I mean, I definitely had a learning curve and I had to figure some stuff out on my own, but, you know, I had some people who definitely were supportive and helped me out. Like when I first moved up from Philly to New York, you know, especially Oren Evans, you know, I was playing at his jam session in Philly a lot. And then, you know, I think he was probably maybe one of the first people who took me up to the city just to hang out. You know, I think he was playing with the Mingus Band at the Jazz Standard, and I came and checked out the show. You know, so I started making some trips up that way and, you know, sat in and would do stuff like that. So he was definitely, you know, someone who took me under his wing, as well as, you know, the people who he knew. And then another, you know, I mentioned before, I used to hang out a lot when I first got to the city with Stacey Dillard. He was running a jam session at Fat Cat and was, you know, very relaxed and open, and it was a good environment. And then, you know, yeah, I guess it's just you meet people through these channels and more people, you know, look out for you. So as long as you don't come across as like, you know, a know-it-all and try not listen, you know, you definitely want to try to listen. I think, you know, you'll be okay. You know, not to say that everything's going to pan out 1, 2, 3. It may take some time and you'll have your hardships. You know, I mean, New York is it's New York. It's hard, but you know, I guess that's my best advice, is just to not give up and keep at it if you really care about your career and your music that much.
And you do. I mean, I just can't even tell you how proud I am, Daryl. It's almost not my right to say that, but I mean, the growth in you has just been staggering to me.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my God, I can't say that enough. More than most people I know, it's just as if this flower has blossomed right in front of so many people who care about you anyway and care about the music that you are creating. It's just folks really do have to buy this album. When is that going to be possible for people to do? You can get the single now, right?
Yeah, the single is available for download when you pre-order the album on iTunes or Bandcamp. So, you know, that's one way you'll actually be buying the album ahead of time, and then you'll have a teaser track to you know, pacify yourself until the actual album is, you know, ready for downloading. But the official release date will be April 20th.
April 20th. Yeah. Wow. Springtime. That's just going to be monumental. Yeah. And what do you want to have happen when the album is out? I mean, you've got a young family now, and you're a mm-hmm. teacher, and you get tied up with a lot because you've got a few plates in your air as well. So how will that work out? Are you planning on touring?
Yeah, you know, hopefully we'll get some good traction with the album and stuff. And we'll, you know, I would love to take this band out on the road and do some touring. So we're working on that currently. And then we might even hopefully be able to do some type of exhibition tour, because like as mentioned before, we have these artworks that go along with each track on the album, you know, by my friend David Emmanuel Noel. He painted all these wonderful works, and I would like to set up some art exhibits where we showcase the art, where people can kind of either view it on a screen or walk around and see the actual works, and we'll be there to perform the concert live, kind of like an interactive, you know, exhibition, I guess, so to speak, or like a silent movie, you know, or a silent soundtrack, or a movie without words, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is going to be a phenomenal year. You've planned for this, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, it's a learning curve with this, because, you know, you got the music component and then the art component. So definitely learning how to fuse the two together and be able to expose, you know, the art community that might not check out jazz or maybe not so much, you know, to this project and get encourage more communication between the two art forms, if that makes sense.
It really does. And I can't even imagine what a next step for you will be, because you are so involved in the artistic merit of the music, and your bass has been classical. You are steeped in that and also love jazz so much. So I'm excited for you. I mean, is your head spinning? Do you have music constantly being created in your head now?
Yeah, I have a lot of different ideas going around. Like, I have, you know, an idea of what the next two albums are being. I'm just trying to figure out which one I want to put out next. maybe even three or four albums, to be honest. But it's just, you know, of course, you got to have the budget and the time to do it. So just I'm looking forward to the next one already, even though this one's not even out yet.
Right. This is not the first time that I've heard that, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, here's what I have to tell
never
you.
Never ending.
This is the first time this has ever happened, and it's sad, but at least I got a chance to talk to you. Blog Talk Radio has so many clients that they are on overload at this moment. So it happened earlier today. Yep, and it's happening now. I can't even get to the studio to play your music because it won't permit me to do it. I've tried while you were talking a number of times. So I know your schedule. I'm going to let you go now, Daryl. And if I possibly can, I am going to reschedule a show for tomorrow tomorrow or something so I can play your music, the three tracks from your new album, because I cannot let this go by without playing your music. So if I have to create another show, I'll do it.
Oh, okay. I would be happy to come back on again if you need me to talk about the music some more. Yeah, it's been a long time, so I was happy to chat with you today.
Oh, that's great. Would you do that? You're such a doll. Oh, my gosh.
my pleasure, my pleasure.
it would be nice to know that Blog Talk Radio is going to be working. let me see what I can do, and let me be in contact with you via Facebook, and maybe we can work out something, and if this is not going to be happening today with all of this music on board, then what I'll do is I'll figure out from BTR, if they are going to be up and running in the next 24 hours, and see what your day is like for tomorrow. Is that cool?
Oh, sounds great, yeah. I should be around for the earlier part of the day, so it should be no problem.
Like this time, like 1 o'clock Eastern time?
Yes.
Or earlier?
Yeah, I won't. Earlier or 1 o'clock works as well, uh-huh.
Okay, cool. Then I'll make it a point to do this because I want people to certainly hear your voice and the ins and outs of this beautiful work. And I said earlier, and I mean it, I know that through this year, and it's still early in this year, this will still be one of my favorite albums for this year, honestly.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are absolutely welcome. All right, we'll be in touch. I promise to let you go after a half an hour, so 4 minutes over that. So maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Daryl, thank you so much, and good luck with everything. You're not even going to need it because you've got anointing. So there. I'll talk to you soon. Right. Yeah. It's now the phone is going kaflooey. I will talk to you soon, Daryl. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Well, isn't that interesting, everybody? First time for everything. Listen, this is why I am going to do the online station as opposed to utilizing Blog Talk Radio any longer. I've got maybe 4 or 5 shows left, and I think that I'm going to accelerate the fact that I'm going to terminate my tie with this outlet because they are so impacted by the money that they're taking in from other clients that they don't service the clients that they do have. And I'll say that publicly, and I'll tell them in a letter, they cannot keep up with the technology of their own network. So now if anybody says to me, would you recommend Blog Talk Radio, I will say a hearty no, I will not recommend them. I cannot even tell you how many times I've written about problems that this network has had, and I've had at least half of the time no apology. So now I understand, seeing all of the ads on Blog Talk Radio, all of the inconveniences that you have because there are pop-up ads before you can get to the meat and potatoes of your own paid-for show. And I'm not even mad at this point because I know that soon it will no longer be in my world, but this is the kind of inconvenience that you put up with. The least expensive show that you can buy is $39, and then it goes up to $99. So you have to figure in how much that's going to be worth to you to have all these technical inconveniences time and time and time again. So for this show, which was so highly touted, I have pushed this on Twitter. I have gone to 4 or 5 pages on Facebook to talk about this show. Very important to me because it's the wrap-up of Black History Month. One more day left in February. And then to have this happen, unforgivable. So let's see if I can get back into the studio now. And I still can't. This is how long you have to wait to get back into the studio on Blog Talk Radio. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close out the show. I'm going to thank you for any time that you've given to us. Daryl Yokely is wonderful to have said, yeah, I'll be back. So let me see if I can possibly plan for another show. Let's see if tomorrow works. Let's see if that's convenient for Blog Talk Radio. Normally I don't get like this. As much as there's Libra in me, there's another Scorpio side. You don't want to piss off that side. So let's see, by the time we roll back to Maryland in late March or early April, how long it's going to take me to get this online station and nuke the ties to Blog Talk Radio for good. So with that positive talk, I bid you adieu. And we'll see what we can have happen in the next 24 hours. And I'll make an apology on Twitter and on Facebook and to all the pages that got excited about the possibility of hearing Daryl Yokely's music and the rest of the show. Thanks so much, and I'll see you soon.